This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 450.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. To the very last episode, in fact, of the Build Your Online Audience podcast. So if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that I announced a few episodes ago that this was going to be the last episode I was going to make of the Build Your Online Audience podcast. If you're a regular listener, don't panic. There is something else coming, the Courageous Content podcast. I made a whole episode, which I will link to in the show notes, about why I decided to end this podcast and start a new one. But please feel reassured that all of these episodes will still be available for you to listen to whenever you want. And we're going out with a bang, because the last interviewee or last guest on the Build Your Online Audience podcast was actually one of my first ever guests, Natalie Sisson. She was my guest, I think, on episode 9, and I talk about this in the interview, but I was really quite scared actually about reaching out to her and asking her to be a guest on my not yet launched podcast, because I was a massive fan of her and her podcast and all her content. And she was somebody that really inspired me when I first started to build my online business. So it feels so apt that we're closing out with one of my first guests and somebody who inspired me so much with my online business. The topic of our interview is bouncing back from a failed launch. And again, it feels really apt because although this particular podcast is ending, I'm launching a new one, May 2021. And the title of that podcast is the Courageous Content Podcast. And I don't think you can get any more courageous than bouncing back from a failed launch, from picking yourself up and looking at what went wrong and getting up and trying again, which is what we talk about in this episode. So it seems like the perfect one to end on. Now, I did make an episode where I went into quite some detail about why I'm ending this podcast and starting a new one, which, as I say, I will link to in the show notes. But please feel reassured, you'll still be able to access all of these episodes. The whole archive will still be available, and I have something exciting coming for you. And if you haven't already put your name on the wait list to hear about the Courageous Content podcast, then head over to CourageousContentPodcast.com. So that's CourageousContentPodcast.com. And if you're listening to this before the new podcast goes live in May 2021, then if you add your name there, then you'll be the first to hear when it's available to listen. So with that, I think it is time to close out the very last episode of this podcast with an amazing guest, Natalie Sisson. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Thank you. It's so awesome to be back.
So yes, you were episode 9. I remember like emailing you to ask you to be a guest and being really nervous because I had this new podcast and, you know, you didn't know who I was and like, why would you come on my podcast that I hadn't even started? But thankfully you agreed. And that was many moons ago. So it's really, really nice to have you back. There's so many things that we could talk about, but we're going to focus on launching. But I guess for those people who don't know you, a good place to start would be, can you tell us a bit about you and what you do and how you've arrived where you are today? Because it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, definitely. And I do remember that email, and also that it was one of the best pitches I ever received, I think. And I was just like, wow, that's how to pitch somebody to like not only be on their show, but then I think you also, you know, wrote an article for me. I was just like, yeah, that's how you do it. And I used it for many, many months after to show clients and students, this is how you do it. So a little bit about me. I am a New Zealander, in case people didn't pick up the accent. And I have been in business for, gosh, 11 years now. And by business, I mean having my own online business, which started out as the suitcase entrepreneur, teaching people how to run a business from anywhere in the world, how to quit your job, essentially become a digital nomad, travel the world, loving life and getting paid to do what you love. And that has served me really, really well for, gosh, 7 or 8 years until I came back to New Zealand, settled down, put down some roots, moved into the biggest, ridiculous, awesome house where my suitcase could have probably fitted in like 2,000 times, and realized that it felt a little bit disingenuous to still be talking about digital nomads and independent location independence, etc. And it also just didn't feel, I feel like I'd done so much traveling and so much of that for so long, it was time to move into the next chapter, which, not going to lie, is a really difficult thing to detach yourself from an identity that you built up all those years that most people knew you as, and just sort of start afresh is what it felt like to come under my own brand of Natalie Sisson. And these days I'm really, really focused on women, helping women to earn what they're worth. And actually my mission is to help 1,000 women earn 10K a month and contribute at least 1% of that to charities and causes that lift up other women. So it's a really awesome journey to be on, but it's certainly been a journey to get to this point.
Wow. Gosh, yeah. And that's a brave thing to do, isn't it? To, like you say, take an identity that you built up, the suitcase entrepreneur. I remember listening to your podcast and being so in awe of what you were doing and living this amazing life. But yeah, that takes courage and bravery, which we're going to talk about in this episode. So there's so much, because obviously you've done so much over that time. There's so many things that we could talk about. But we settled on talking about bouncing back from a failed launch. Because it's something that comes up a lot. And whether you're launching one coaching program and you're reaching out to a handful of people, or you're launching your first course or membership or whatever it might be, I think we've all been in that situation where we've either had a complete flop. My first course launch, I remember thinking was a massive flop, but it wasn't actually. If I looked at now I understand properly about conversion rates, actually it was okay. But I had unrealistic expectations based on seeing loads of internet marketers talking about making millions and not really seeing the connection between the sizes of their audience and their sales. But I've certainly had things I've been disappointed with over the years and, reflected on those. And obviously that's how you get better. But I think you've got quite a notable story to share as a starting point.
Yeah, I've done so many launches now. It's crazy. I think I've had over 30 courses and launched, I don't even know how many times over the sort of 9 or 10 years. And I'm actually just wrapping one up as we record this. But the biggest spectacular one was totally all those things you just talked about, just misaligned expectations, misreading the market and who I was serving, and really going in off the back of other successful launches and thinking that I had it all down pat. I always try different things and I always like to learn and test, but I really did just have this kind of confidence, I think, going in that because this was my core program at the time called the Freedom Plan, and I had started that out as a pilot that I pre-sold just by some simple emails before I even started it or launched it. And that then became my most successful multiple six-figure launch for a course ever. So I had all this goodness that I had built up on, and I decided to change some things, including making it a little bit more advanced for a more advanced audience. I reshot all the videos. I hired my videographer, flew him over from Australia. We shot them all in our house. I redid all the materials. I went all out thinking this is what people wanted. I had huge high expectations for the launch. I put a lot of money into team, which I hadn't done before. I'd often done it with quite a small but mighty team like myself and just a few others. I spent so much time managing other people and sort of teaching them how to do it versus me just doing it. But I was almost at this point of being stubborn, no, you've hired them now, so you've got to work with them. And all these things went wrong. And then come launch period, I just remember spending quite a lot on ads, had already spent all the stuff around design and websites. And I did the Jeff Walker product launch formula to the T. I decided to follow it for the first time ever rather than charting my own path. And all of those things came together, Janet, to just this really horrible launch, horrible. I spent way more than I made. I was expecting, I really wanted sort of 50 plus people, 50 to 100 in this program. I'd had over 250 members by this point, and I was just pretty confident about that. I think I got 8, and I was this isn't even going to pay. It was just a horrible loss-making venture, and I actually took about 5 days of I cried ugly. I just was actually in a really big funk, which is so unlike me. It really hit me more than anything, because you can imagine so this was 2018, I think. So after sort of 8 or 9 years of doing pretty well and leading up into bigger and bigger launches and seeing some of this huge success, it just felt like I had completely missed the boat and didn't know anything. So I really doubted everything that I had ever learned or done. It's funny how our brains can do that, isn't it? Because rather than focus on, okay, well, let's do the analysis and look at what really happened, and was it quite as bad as you thought? And it wasn't. But at the time, it just felt like I was a fully fledged failure who had somehow managed to ignore or not understand the last 8 or 9 years of success and had just screwed up. And I felt just shrinking away and just literally leaving the internet and running away, which is a horrible feeling. And I've never had that before. It was like 5 days of sort of feeling sorry for myself and really forcing myself to reframe and look at what really happened and learn the lessons and do that analysis. But I tell you what, it was really difficult. It hit me so personally. It hit my ego more than anything. I was like, wow, that was a monumental screw up. And now what was interesting about it is it's been the best catalyst for me going forward, because I can tell you the good news story that happened off the back of it, but I'm happy to answer any questions now that you have.
Yeah, there's so much that I want to ask. And first of all, like I can really relate to, I don't know if I've had anything as spectacular as that, but I think part of it, this is what I want to know more about though, is about being ambitious. So like you say, you hired all those people and you went big and maybe that's it. And I think that's what I'm really fascinated to know more about, because I've seen it happen with clients. Sometimes I've seen them go quite big on something and I'd be like, oh, hang on a minute. So yeah, I would love to know more about what was it that made you decide to kind of hire all those people in. And yeah, they just break it down, because I'm assuming what you did once you'd had your awful 5 days is you went off and then you started to break it apart and see what had happened. And what do you think went wrong? And then we can hear the fantastic good news story that came afterwards.
I think why I decided to hire people is I'd been doing that lifestyle business for so long where it's you, your virtual assistant, and a handful of sort of contractors you bring in from time to time. And I thought, what would it feel like to actually hire a proper, you know, web designer to set up some of these landing pages? I was using a new tool that was a bit fancier and I wanted some help on it. I thought, you know, the videographer, it was time to refresh the videos because they were sort of 3 or 4 years old, even though they were perfect as is. Like, you know, they were just talking over the top of a screen, but it was really great content. And I thought, no, it's time to be more on video and make it look professional. So I just knew for that, I was happy to invest and get people in to help and support me so I could do a much better job of launch. I really did in my head have this big, grand, bold plan. And part of the reason for that, Janet, is I think what you envision and what you move towards can actually be yours if you believe it fully enough. Like if you set yourself a really low expectation, you might well hit that. But I always like to stretch yourself because that's where the growth is. And I like being on the edge of my comfort zone quite a lot because that is where I learn so much. But maybe in this case, I had a little bit of a compound effect of some previous great launches and a little bit of confidence that was maybe skewing it. So I think that the whole reason was, I think if you invest in others and they can help you, then I could step out and do more of what I do best, which is the teaching and the coaching and the videos and the marketing and the promotion. But what it ended up doing, as I mentioned, is it meant most of my time was managing people who weren't actually skilled enough for the job. So while I did hire them, I didn't necessarily hire the best of the best. I was trying to hire local and I was trying to support women. And I just realized that what I'd done was take on people that I needed to train. So it just really sucked a lot of my time and energy away from the good stuff. And it meant things were behind and it all just became a bit of a shit show, if it's okay to swear on the show. And so that was just a really good learning lesson. I think I'd seen, probably like you said, some of these crazy great internet marketers and seeing how big their teams were and how much they put into spend. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that on a mini version here and I'm going to rock it. So I think the good thing there is, you know, yes, stretch yourself and yes, hire and invest in great people. But also don't give away everything that you know, like don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and really hone in on your strengths and make sure that you're able to play to those no matter what. And I think I didn't. I gave away a lot of my power and my time and energy to be managing people that, quite frankly, I could have done a lot of those jobs myself, which is not the end game. I'm a big fan of delegation, but ultimately I could have, you know, the time it took to train them to do it, I could have done those things because I know them like the back of my hand.
Interesting what you said about the videos as well. So you thought it was time to kind of upgrade and get them all. And looking back, would you have done that again?
I was like, I had makeup and all the stuff. And I remember my sister actually saying, you know what, Nat, they look really professional and great, but I just kind of, it's not you. And I was like, oh, you're so right. Like everything was so poised and professional. And again, that's coming back to seeing these, you know, and I've been in the internet marketing world for so long, just online for so long. I don't know why I necessarily got sucked into that product launch formula way. Looking back, I would have just done it my own way, which is what I've always done and has always worked well for me. So staying really true to who you are, there's no need for you not to upgrade and to put your best foot forward, but still do it in a way that honors you, because that's what people have come to expect of me, you know, down to earth, simplifying the complex, fun, like a little bit goofy, whatever it may be, delivering great value. But it doesn't mean you have to be looking all smashing and amazing to do it. But if anything, I think people resonate more with the good old home video or you sitting on your couch. You know, it can still be professional, but it's real. Yeah. And I think for me, I was trying to put out this image, which is so not me, to look more professional and make sure that people felt it was really valuable. And actually what they just wanted was me.
Yeah, and think people want the content, don't they? It was making me think as you were talking,
the content, not me. But the way in which they want your
knowledge, and then their content. Yeah. Actually, yeah. They'd rather have your in-depth knowledge and advice and strategy than have a highly polished video that costs. As you were talking, I was thinking about a few things. I was thinking about somebody that I know who's had these amazing videos shot for YouTube, but kind of hired somebody that kind of made these beautiful videos, but hadn't really marketed them. So I've got all these beautiful, beautiful, high quality videos, but actually, if you don't know how to market them, and I always say, like with YouTube, like I watch blurry, out of focus videos if they give me the content that I want. Like I would rather watch that than some highly produced thing that doesn't actually give me what I need. So it's like, but yeah, I had to put a course together really quickly after Christmas because I sell this social media diary and planner, and we sold a lot more this year, and we had a new type of buyer that was coming in, and this new type of buyer was like, well, hang on a minute, I've bought this diary, like why haven't you written all the posts for me? And so I was trying to explain, you know, well, you know, it's probably not helpful to you if we give you posts and everybody's posting the same thing. But it made me realize that I needed to put something together for these people rather than say, well, okay, you should know better. Okay, so I had to put together a challenge quite quickly. And as you were talking, it was making me think about, because as I was shooting these videos, and I literally did them on Canva, and I was having to do them, you know, kind of on the hoof, because I just felt like I needed to help these people use the product better if they were struggling. And even now I keep thinking, oh, I need to go back and reshoot those videos. But, you know, I had hundreds of people went through and did this challenge. I think 600 people signed up to it. I did this challenge and people got some great results with their content, and they got the outcome that they needed. And me sitting on a sofa, me holding that up for 6 months, you know, or me not giving that to them because I'm not sitting on a sofa in a house that I've hired to look all smart. Like, I think ultimately people do choose. I think that's what I'm getting at. People, it's the content that generally people want, and the guidance and the advice. And
yeah.
And I see sometimes with some of my clients who are keen to launch membership sites and courses, and they'll get so bogged down in like what tool they should use and getting a membership site built. Well, hang on, like, you know, you could just host that in Wistia or Vimeo, and you could just send it to people. Like, it's about, yeah, I guess focusing on the bits that people that are probably the most important. Yeah, so that's why I was really interested in just whether, you know, how you felt about that going back. And like you say, just being authentic.
Yeah, and doing it in your own style. Like, there are definitely methodologies and things that work that give you a great foundation, but adding your own unique touch and twist to your own launch is really important, I think. So yes, do the sort of the steps that work, but also don't forget to just be you, because that's people resonate with all kinds of different people, and why they come to you to learn from you and be taught by you is because you represent somebody that resonates with them. You teach in a way that they like, and there'll be people who don't like how I teach, and there'll be people who love how somebody else teaches. And I think that's great. Like, you want people who understand you, resonate with you, learn from you. Those are the people who are going to get the best results. And so I think I just lost a little bit of myself in that, to seeing all these other people, which is not normally what I do. Like, we all get influenced by that, but normally I just take my own path and take the best bits of what they're doing and then figure out how I want to fit that in with what I want. And this time I just felt I was trying to fit myself like a, what is it when you're trying to fit yourself as a square into a round hole or whatever the wonderful saying is. And I just don't think you should ever do that. But you learn it once and you never go back there.
Exactly. And I think it's like, I'm very amateur singer and singer and pianist. And I remember I've had a couple of really, really bad performances. But I feel like after that happened, it couldn't get any worse. So like any nerves that I had disappeared. Like after you've like literally just like tanked in front of everybody, I found my nerves soon disappeared because it got as bad as it could. And you mentioned actually the Jeff Walker blueprint, and this is not to like pick out any particular personal work, but I remember following that blueprint, and I'm sure it's a really good blueprint, when I first started out and having a not very good launch. because I'd failed to, I'd missed something like really, really important. And it's like, yes, well, it's like a three video launch strategy, isn't it? And yes, if you already have a, you know, a large audience and you've got a, you know, decent sized email list and audience and whatever, and you're, you know, you've already got a group of people to sell to, then great, you know, something like that could be really helpful to you. But when I look at some of the things that I used when I first started out actually launching courses and memberships, the, I was using strategies that were being used by like multimillionaires who had already sold loads of courses and memberships and whatever. And either it wasn't pointed out to me or I conveniently just ignored it. And just, I'm sure it probably was pointed out to me. And I just kind of ignored it. But expecting to get, I mean, there's a few things, expecting to get the same results as somebody, and this is not talking about your scenario, but something that I see in clients quite a lot is, expect, you know, you just, pushing out your first online course or membership, and you haven't got many people on your email list or followers, and expecting that you're going to get the same results as, I don't know, Marie Forleo or something. And I also think there's probably an ego part to it as well. It's like, and it's not a nice thing to address in ourselves, but it's like, well, why would we get the same results as somebody who's been doing it for many, many years and has created loads and loads of sales pages and has had loads of failed launches probably, but wouldn't tell you about them that they've learned from? Like, why would you just be able to rock up online and do that in, you know, in your first launch? You know, this is years of experience generally, isn't it? And I think that's really important to take into account.
It is actually. And to sort of move on to the thing that I did end up doing that was really great is I ended up just stripping everything back after that. It like took me a while, and about 3 or 4 months later I had this opportunity to tag in off the back of Teachable, who did a course creator challenge. And I just thought, you know what, I know what this challenge is going to be great for, but it's missing the coaching and accountability. So I did this super simple pilot test to people, and I said, hey, Teachable are doing this cool challenge. If you pay me, I think it was something like $97 or $197, maybe it was a little bit more, but I was like, I will coach you through it. We'll do live coaching accountability, and I'll also share my insights around coaching. And I immediately got like 10 people to sign. And I was like, wow, I don't even really have to do anything for this apart from pitch up and do the coaching and hold them accountable, which are two of my favorite things to do. And it was such a difference, Janet, to this other full on, you know, 2 or 3 months of planning, spend huge amounts of money, have all these moving parts. This was just so simple, almost like piggybacking off something that existed and adding your core expertise to it. Mm. And from that, I then developed my own course because I thought, even though the challenge was good, I was like, no, I actually do have my own method for launching now that I want other people to know, and created something called the Launch Your Damn Course Accelerator, because I literally was like, let's just launch our damn courses. I just thought, does what it says on the label, make it your own. Shot all the videos in my shed. I know that sounds odd, but we created this little studio in our shed on the property at the time. And I just, you know, I had my podcast mic, my video set up, just my own makeup, my own, however I felt like being. And I just stood there and talked to the camera and had fun with it, got a video editor to do it, and boom. And that has gone on to become this amazing accelerator that I've run 8 cohorts of. And it's just purely me. The content's great. I keep upgrading it, but in a good way, like adding great bonuses that really help the people learn. I've had fun with it, and it was so much easier. And it started from the most minimum viable idea ever. And that's now what I teach. And what I wanted to come back to what you were just saying is I teach my students in this accelerator now to not go for the big over-the-top craziness. I just say, choose the minimum viable course that you can do in the next 60 days, even if it's just a workshop or a masterclass, and get the basics right, which is understanding who your audience is, what problems they have, and how you're going to solve them. Not all the fancy marketing tools and all the fancy everything else. Just let's get back to basics. Who do you want to teach, and how do you want to transform their lives? And so I don't spout off that they're going to make millions. I say, hey, how great would it be to have a couple of extra $100 or $1,000 income every month when your course is pre-launched and selling? And I think that really resonates with people. You know, it'll turn away all the people who want $1 million launches, but it will really resonate with people who are like, I don't even know if people are going to pay me to teach what I know. And I just think I found my niche within that. And even again, from this launch that I've just done, I found another sub niche of that. So that's what I love about launching, is when you're open and willing to learn the lessons and keep learning, you get so much out of it. If you take the failures and you mope around and feel rejected and let it crush your ego and go, I'm never doing that again, you've missed the whole point of what makes launching an exciting learning experience that you can always get better at.
And I think the example I just gave there about having to create that challenger, I wasn't expecting to have to do that. You know, this is my fifth year that I've had this product that I've sold, and I wasn't expecting, you know, everyone's always seemed to understand the product and they've been able to use it. But we used a lot more Facebook advertising this year. So that was a new thing. And I learned that it was bringing in a new type of client, and I could either say, well, for God's sake, maybe they should just know that that's not the done thing, or I create something for them, which is what I chose to do. But there's always learning, isn't it? And every time I do it, I learn something. Yeah. I'll make mistakes every time. And it also, I mean, I really should write another book, but I your press release is breaking my heart. Like, I always feel like my next one should be like, your online course launch is breaking my heart, because the number of conversations, I suggest the same thing to the clients in my Build Your Online Audience program. So I'm saying, look, consider that big course. I'm not trying to put you off or make your dreams smaller, but let's just be practical about this. If you've never sold a digital product before, like, you don't know, like, there's a group that I still belong to of a course that I did years ago on how to launch an online course, and no names mentioned. And I saw something really recently where there was a guy who had built a whole massive online course. He had put it out and he had sold not one. I mean, he was literally like, I've spent months creating this course. And so I always say to my clients, like, you know, why would you go and build like a you know, a massive like 12, 14, 16 module online course when you've never sold anything to that audience? Like, how about a masterclass, or how about a PDF download? Or let's just start with something. And, you know, if you can sell one of something, you know, and you start to see a pattern, then you say, okay, well, you know, this masterclass did really well, or this download, and then you can bring that together. But I feel like this whole world that we're in is like, sometimes it's not like I'm Debbie Downer at all, because I'm like the most half full in the world, but I'm also quite realistic, and I'm sort of thinking, well, the other thing that you learn through launches as well is that, you know, if I look back at the sales pages that I used to write when I did my first launches, they were not very good. They've got better. They could still get a lot better. I mean, there's, you know, there's always things to learn. But when you first get online and you're first trying to, you know, figure out your audience and what you can sell to them, like, you know, your copy isn't as good, your even like my visual branding, like you've got so much to learn, haven't you? And your email marketing gets better and better the more that you do it. But to expect just to rock up online and to have all your ducks in a row and to be brilliant at everything and be able to execute this massive big launch, that's something, you know, like, why not give yourself a break and just like try something, you know, try and like you say, sell it before you make it, and, you know, just give yourself a break.
Yeah. That's a huge part of my accelerator, is pre-sale before you've even created it. And a lot of people freak out at that. They're like, shouldn't I start creating it now? What about this? And I was like, no. I feel like going, hold, charge, because everybody wants to do that. And I'm like, why on earth would you spend all those hours and weeks and heartache to then turn around and have crickets versus pre-selling and validating this is something that people want, and then saying, great, it starts in 2 weeks, and then you roll out, you know, live, and you can pre-record some of it. And it really has flipped so many people's mindsets once they do it and they realize how incredible it is. Because you actually, one, get money in the bank. You get people paying you in advance to say, yes, you should create this course. It's a great idea. I love it. Can't wait. And it gives you so much confidence to go ahead with it. And I always use the reason of when I first launched, I was like that guy. I spent 40 hours turning a workshop that I'd sold out, actually, in Vancouver. I'd run it 3 times, and I took that entire workshop over 2 days and turned it into an online course. Spent 40 long hours recording over the top of every single slide and all the stuff, and then did the same thing, like launched to just a couple of people, and, you know, it got better. But it was initially super exciting that I'd launched a course and somebody paid for it. But man, I wish I had done that in reverse and pre-sold it, because that was painful.
Yeah.
So that's why I pretty much defer everybody from doing that. And it's smart business, right, Janet? You wouldn't have put together your awesome book that you sell and guide and then gone, hey, here it is, and expect people, you know, you would have done all the great stuff that you teach people how to do, build the buzz, educate people before they got it, share why it's going to help them so much, and then get people to pre-order, and then you can release it. But you wouldn't just put something out into the wild that people have no idea is coming, they haven't understood yet why it's great for them or how it's going to help them, and expect that that's going to sell like hotcakes.
No, and I think the other thing is that people will often, you know, if you put a post in a Facebook group, be, oh, that sounds brilliant, but you never know until someone actually gets their PayPal out and they pay for it. And people sometimes lie. They lie to be nice. They tell you what they want you to hear if they like you, and then you get crickets. So the only way you're ever going to know is be brave enough to put it out there.
Can I give a really good example that's super fresh? Because I've literally, as I said, just finishing up this launch, the 8th round of my accelerator. And this time we did a 5-day challenge, which was brilliant and genius and so much fun. And as you said, probably like your one, it was just really great. People were super engaged, going live every day, answering great questions. And what we got is every single person who joined the group had to answer 2 questions. What's been your biggest struggle in launching so far? Or like, you know, have you even launched? And what's one question that you have for me that you'd love to know? And it was gold. The answers to those questions were just gold because they confirmed and validated for me what we thought we knew about our ideal avatar. But for everybody, it was either fear of launching, you know, fear of getting over yourself. Do I have anything to teach? Will people actually pay me for it? How do I deal with the tech overwhelm? Where do I even start? Just all these great, great things. But even with that, armed with that knowledge and using their own words back in our email copy and our sales page copy, you'd be surprised how many people would just never take action. And I think that's the heartbreaking thing to me, is that every single person in that group was qualified to be there and probably should be on the accelerator, if I'm being really honest. But they just won't. It'll be price that's a hang up. It'll be that fear still there that I haven't, you know, overcome their objections. I haven't addressed it. They're just not ready. All the excuses that people will put up. And the ones who dived in and took it are going to be amazing. But it really at the same time just kind of broke my heart, because everything they were talking about, I was like, this is why we built this accelerator. This is why it works. Mm. And yet they don't want to take that opportunity. And it's just like, so I've missed something there. Or, you know, it's actually, again, about targeting. And biggest lesson I've learned on this launch, again, is that next time round, I really want to be aiming at authors, speakers, consultants, and coaches, because I know more than anybody, those are the people who've got amazing results out of this accelerator. Mm. They often, as you said, have something they already are teaching, a signature talk, a framework that they use, a coaching method. And so it's much easier for them to actually be able to monetize that through a course versus somebody who's starting from scratch and has nothing.
Yeah.
So that was a huge learning lesson for me this time around. As much as I love to help total newbies, the people who are actually going to do service to what I'm teaching and get the most out of it are those people that have gone through what I've gone through, and I know exactly how to help them monetize their knowledge. So that was a really useful learning.
Oh, brilliant. And there were a couple of quick other things I want to ask you about. So first of all, I just wanted to wrap up on the launching thing. So this is what I think I've taken from what you've said, and then we need to talk about your book. But so I think what you're saying is the big takeaway is to pre-sell, which is obviously something that I so totally endorse as well, to pre-sell and get that validation before you make. Don't expect to be an expert, like off the bat. Give yourself a bit of a chance to find your feet and to expect a bit of testing. You don't build the big old course, you know. Maybe start with something like you say, if you're a coach or consultant, what have you got that people ask you about? Mm-hmm. Is it something you can test out to start off with? And I think also what came out from what you were saying was this is certainly what I took from it, was about almost like separating yourself from it, because it can be easy to see that as a reflection of you, can't it? Like, yes. If your course doesn't, but actually often these are very, like, when you break it down, which is an important thing to do, isn't it, to go and look and see what,
yes,
see what's happened, is like there's this whole different set of factors which are, I mean, it's not, they are to do with probably decisions you've made or not made, but it's not a reflection on you as a person, is it? You know, it's just a series of actions that you've taken or not taken, and it's like, okay, right, well, what do I do different next time?
I guess if I try to like just really simplify that, it would be put as much of you into it as you can, because that's what people will resonate with, but don't take it personally. A very hard thing to do, not going to lie, but put yourself into it so it's very much you, and then don't take it personally as a reflection if people don't join on or enroll.
Yeah, I think there's so much good in that. So a lot of what we covered today is in your new book, which has got the best title ever. So before we finish up, could you tell us a little bit about the book and what we can expect?
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. It's called Suck It Up, Princess. And basically it's real life strategies to sort of get out of your own way, be your own inner heroine, and just live life on your own terms, in a sense. And so it's actually a really different book for me, because it's not all business related at all. It's very much, I would say, part memoir of stories that I hope will inspire people, some of my screw ups and failures and big moments and the lessons learned in those, as well as just a whole lot of sort of self-help and inspiration on your own inner world, around your ego, imposter syndrome, inner critic, your outer world, dealing with people setting boundaries, saying no. And then also about how to negotiate, to charge more, to really, like, yeah, just look out for yourself. And there's even parts in there around self-compassion, love, romance. So it's just an all-encompassing book that I really felt people can just pop in their bag and pull out at any point to go, oh, I just need a pep talk. I need a kick up the ass. I need some gentle loving. I need a good laugh. I need to have a good cry, whatever it may be. I feel like it's got it all, and it's very, very personal. There's no statistics. There's no massive references. It's all stories and things that I've learned over so many years that will really help people out. And I do talk about my launch screw up in there, about that ego piece. So I hope that, you know, people are going to be able to learn from my amusing and heartbreaking moments. And I think I'm just really looking forward to seeing what people think.
Fantastic. And I know you said that the suck it up princess is something that you say to yourself. When things are, you know, going your way, or you're finding it tough, you like, suck it up, princess.
It really helps. Like, yes, you need compassion at times, but there are just times when we just need to just snap out of it. Come on, move on. What's the next step? How can we make this better? And I do think it's just a phrase that, especially for those of us down under, Australia and New Zealand, we're quite can just do that, you know, suck it up, mate.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I'm a big fan of, you know, self-compassion and, you know, being kind to yourself, but actually there are some things that just have to happen. So the examples that we've talked about here, expecting to have £1 million launch when you've just got online and you're just finding your feet and you're learning about it, you know, there's a bit of learning to do, and there's a bit of experimentation, there's a bit of audience building, there's probably going to be some mistakes and falling over. But yeah, my attitude is kind of suck it up, princess, about that. And I feel if people were more realistic about what was involved in doing this, and they were to just suck it up a bit and say, well, look, this is probably going to take me a few years of figuring this stuff out, they would get much better results, or be less likely to give up, I think. Because I think it can be so, with all these messages around us, like about, you know, 6 and 7 figure businesses and, you know, life, laptop lifestyle. And, you know, like, I think there can be so many messages that make it all seem like it's so easy, but actually there is a bit of sucking it up and just getting on with it that has to happen.
Exactly. There really is. We need to be more resilient. I think it's a good thing that serves us well.
Definitely. And I know that I had a guest on recently who said, like, you fail your way to success. And I just think it was such a really good way to put it. It's just so, so true. Mm. Well, thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it. I'm really excited about seeing the book when it comes out. And where's the best place for us to find you if we want to know more?
Yeah, I obviously have a podcast as well. It's called Untapped. So I'd love for people to check that out. And the best place is nataliesisson.com. Everything's on there, the podcast, the book, courses, learning lessons, screw-ups, failures, all the good stuff. So that would be amazing. And Instagram, I'm at Natalie Sisson as well. I'm pretty much that brand all over the web, which is fantastic and useful.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thank you so much. You've shared so much value. And I know that this will probably cheer a lot of people up and make them feel a lot better about. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I hope you found that useful. And just a quick reminder, if you'd like to join me on the next part of my podcasting journey, then head over to courageouscontentpodcast.com. So it's courageouscontentpodcast.com. Put your name on the wait list if you're listening before May 2021, and you will be the first to hear when the new podcast goes live.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.